In the Fale is a music show on ABC Radio Australia, hosted by me, Paola Tukefu. I'll be spinning my favorite tunes from dancehall to disco, calypso to country, reggae to roots, and hip-hop to house music, from across the era to keep the kids and the aunties happy. If it has a pumping groove, I'll be bringing it to you to bump you into the weekend.
Search up In the Fale to listen online or find it in the ABC Listen app.
This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neat and Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinira Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Malolale ofalahi atu and welcome everyone to Tunisian Footy Fridays. My name is Sam Wykes and alongside me is my Cook Island Kiwi Tinira Arona, and we're going to bring you all the news from the Rugby League and Rugby Union Worlds and highlight all of our Pacific Island talent. T, happy Friday, my friend. How
happy
are you?
Friday, kia rana and malolale. I know we're coming to the end of Tongan Language Week.
Yes.
What other words have you learnt this week, brother?
The other words I learnt is whakapikopiko.
What's that mean?
It means you're lazy. So that's what I used to get told as a kid.
Whakapikopiko.
Yeah.
Hey. Stop being whakapikopiko.
Yeah, just go like that.
Okay.
So that's what I got told as a kid all the time. I was pretty lazy.
You know what I'm going to use that?
Use that on your kids that you coach.
Yes, the under 16 St. Clair Comets kids, because there's a few Tongans in there.
Yeah.
And last night at training, I said, malolale and happy Tongan Language Week. And they're like, shh.
Actually, that was good on the Manly Seagulls socials where they were talking about, like, you know, how do you know if you're Tongan? Like, what would it be like in a Tongan household? And then a lot of them did those noises where it's like, shh, hey. Yeah, like, that's how you know you're Tongan, yeah. Those funny noises.
And I went, hey, say bear boys. And then I just had a bit of a giggle. But, yes, I'll be using that one, whakapikopiko, to the boys tomorrow. And we've got a big show to get through here on Tunisian Footy Fridays. Like you said, round 25 kicked off with the Panthers and the Melbourne Storm. Oh, we'll review some of those moments from last night, but there's some big news in the NRL with a few of our Pacific leaders of NRL players have announced their retirement, which we'll get to shortly. We've also got our two guests for our show today. Kiana Takarangi will be jumping in to cover and preview the NRLW. Sala Tongatuki is
no
currently
show.
Not a no show. She's got captain's run. So I'll let her
is
pass.
Is that a fair enough excuse?
You know what? I did
is
see
that
her.
Fair enough?
I did see her this week. I went to happy. The Tigers. She was happy, but she also gave me a couple of like these pairs of shorts. That just, I forgot to bring for you,
can I grab them off you?
That Tigers black shorts, and you don't even get to see the Tigers brand. So thank you, Sala, for that one. And we've also got Nemani Nondolo Kurundrani to talk all things Fiji and draw. And you've got some rugby union,
yeah,
stuff
a bit
to
of
catch
rugby
up on.
Union stuff, and probably probably other stuff as well with him that's got nothing to do with rugby, but it will be a good chat.
Sweet brother, let's get right into it.
Hey guys, Josh Papali here, and you're listening to Tunisian Footy.
Speaking of the man himself, Josh Papali'i, he announces his retirement from the NRL at the end of this season.
This career is only, you know, made reality because of the boys I play with week in, week out, and you know, they're the bonds and the special moments that I'm gonna miss as a player. Yeah, and I'm sure when Friday comes and we get that win, we'll celebrate with you know, a few beverages, but. For now, it's just soaking in the week, and probably a good time to probably announce that this probably be a good time to say my goodbyes to the NRL world. So when 2026 season ends, I'm obviously announcing my retirement from NRL as well. So
tonight will be his final home game at the Canberra Raiders. Man,
sad.
It
That's
is
a
sad.
Sad.
It's a sad.
Sad
time.
Sad time. When I think of rugby league players, he's up there with one of my favourites.
Yeah. Why?
You know why? I love players that have a body shape that is not like an Adonis. You know, when because you train hard. Obviously, you got to train hard. And he openly talks about, man, if it was about training, I wouldn't be. If you got chose based on training, I wouldn't be playing NRL, but he does all his talking on the field.
Yeah,
he enjoys himself, and I love his mullet. I love the fact that he's had challenging times within his career and he's had to rebuild himself. He's never shied away from those challenges and he takes a lot of responsibility and accountability. And I think he played the game the way it should be. Mm. You know, hard, physical, but he enjoyed it as well. And I thought that oozes both on and off the field. So I think that's what I loved about Josh Papali'i.
In our day and age, it's very hard to play 300-plus games.
And he's on 340 games.
As a prop, he's on 340. He'll play his 341st tonight, and all for the one club at Canberra Raiders. Now, think how hard those pre-seasons would have been. Like he
under Ricky.
Under Ricky Stewart. He made his debut in 2011. It's 2026, and he's played that long, so that many pre-seasons. On top of that, 340 games. He's also played 24 State of Origin games for his state, Queensland. And every time, my favourite Josh Papali'i is Queenslander Papali'i.
Yes. You know,
that Josh Papali'i, especially when he puts that jersey on.
Especially when he announced his sort of retirement from Queensland. And we kept talking about, they need an enforcer. And you're talking about, they need Josh Papali'i. And he goes, I'm coming back. And then he goes and wins that series.
And they win the series in that one game. And so Josh Papali'i, State of Origin. On top of that, 11 games for Australia. On top of that, 13 games for the Tour Samoa. And
on top of that, is there still one more to come?
On top of that, I'm praying. I am praying there's a game for the Cook Islands at the end of this year. I'm going to drop him a text, actually, today.
Come on, Kaz.
Man, actually, after today, because he's got a big game tonight. But congratulations on his career. And like, surely there's a chance to put on that Cook Island jersey. But, man, I just want, in this moment, want to acknowledge, you know, a great man in Josh Papali'i. You know, he's led the way for a lot of Pacific players and also Samoan players, and you know, I just wish him all the best for whatever happens after the season. But I know that he's been a great servant of our game in rugby league. So congratulations to the man himself, Josh Papali'i. Now on to another player who has announced his retirement. This one was through different circumstances. Tui Kamikamitha, so he had to medically retire. This year he had to fix a hole in his heart that caused a stroke. And so he is medically retired from the NRL and from playing. And again, another great servant of our game of rugby league, but also for young Fijian players. He's played 142 games for the Storm and 22 games for the Bati Fiji. Now, every time I've met Tui, when you think of Fijians, he is that pinnacle Fijian rugby league player.
Yeah.
You know, big, strong, athletic, but very humble, got a warm heart. When we spent time with him in Fiji, he welcomed me and our team to a kava ceremony, and he drove that and just made sure that we felt comfortable in his homeland, but also, you know, within that environment, with the other players around him, and he made sure that our team was comfortable. And I just want to give a big shout out to Tui Kamikamitha, because not only is he a great rugby league player, also a great human being.
Absolutely. And I still can't believe rugby union couldn't find a spot for him. They didn't know what position he was going to be, and that's how he ended up in rugby league. Like, how do you not find a spot for Big Tui? How do you miss that? You stick him at 8, you stick him on the wing, he'll do the job. But I still also can't believe that I'm 6 years older than Tui. He's only 32, and he's like the true Fijian, 40-20. Looks 40, but he's only 20.
Yeah, he's got such smooth skin and a deep voice.
That moustache. Again, an iconic figure in the game. He will be missed, and a wonderful servant. And just seeing the emotions last night of him and the players shaking his hand as they run out to that game. But, yeah, let's hear some audio from Tui himself.
It's my last year in the NRL. I'll be medically retired for this year. It's been really a tough decision for me and my family.
Yeah, I just want to wish Tui Kamikamitha all the best for his future, and you know, a lot of love from all of us here at Nijan Footy. In other news, Payne Huss has reportedly been ruled out of the World Cup for Samoa due to an injury.
A finger injury. He's going to have surgery on his finger.
Or a hand injury. So
yes.
That would be...
That's a huge blow.
If that happens, that's a huge blow for Samoa.
What a week to do it on Tongan Language Week. I think all the Tongans are happy it as...
Would be cheering that Penas doesn't play for
He's not playing in
Samoa.
That game, the blockbuster game in Parramatta come World Cup. Oh, man, that's a huge blow. Who do you think will replace him?
Look, they've got a pretty stacked team, eh?
Who's the kid from Newcastle?
Well, Francis.
Is he a back rower?
He's a back rower.
Oh, okay.
But you've got Terrell May.
Yep.
So he would be there. You've got Spencer Linu. What other props? Josh Papali'i is up there. Junior Bolo's there.
Oh, so they're not short of a prop.
No, they've got middles.
Yeah,
they've got some really good middles. So, but he just would have added so much power in that middle.
There's relief. Honestly, there's a sign of relief of like, oh, yes, I don't have to tackle that bloke or he's going to have that influence. Because, you know, he would have lifted a gear going into those type of camps. But obviously, we wish him all the best with his recovery. And I believe he's not the only one, T, that's going to be missing the World Cup. You know, there's a few stars, actually.
Well, we mentioned Tui will miss out
for
Fiji. Yep. Dylan Brown will miss out for the Kiwis. He's just had ACL injury. And, yeah, it's just that time of year where boys are picking up little niggles and or big injuries like Dylan Brown's ACL.
Yeah.
So we may see a couple more, but what I do know is that whatever team players are out there, it's going to be one hell of a World Cup.
Oh, there's not a shortage of talent. There might not be the household name, but there's no shortage of talent there, and it's still going to be quality fixtures all around.
Let's head on to round 25 NRL, and if you're just joining us, you are listening to Nijan Footy with myself, Tinero Aruna, and my colleague, Sammy Wykes. Last night, Sammy, did you end up watching the game, Penrith versus Storm?
Well, I got bits of that game and wet conditions. I saw a couple of sin bins as well, but maybe I thought... Was there a few, wasn't
there? There was four
total. Four. Oh, there you go. I thought after Jack Cogger got sin bin and I think the Panthers were up 24-10, I think it was something like that, and then the Storm replied with a try straight away. I thought, oh, here's the comeback. But obviously, the Penny Panthers held on to get the job done.
Yeah.
So it's good signs there of resilience.
So in the first half, the halftime score was actually 22-0 to the Panthers. Brian To'o, he scored three tries. And I believe this was his second hat-trick or third hat-trick. But he scored his 100th NRL try. He also, after scoring his third, made it 102, which meant he then became the second all-time try scorer for the Penrith Panthers. He only sits behind the great Reece Wesser. Reece has 113 tries in total. And, you know, Brian To'o has this final series and next year to try and break that record. So I don't think he'll be... he may leave the Penrith Panthers as the top try scorer before he goes to PNG.
Hey, you know when he took that intercept try?
Yeah.
It felt like probably the first time I've seen him in open space because he's always like pinballing through or finishing in the corner. But that felt like one of the first times I've seen him in open space. I thought he was quicker than that. Or am I being too harsh there?
No, I think he's just, you're probably used to seeing those taller, rangier
outside
backs
when they open up.
When they do open up.
Yep.
And, you know, you can picture Hamiso Tabaifita.
That is so true.
You know, even Xavier Coates when he opens up. Those boys that play for like Jermaine Sucker or he got caught the other week, but Herbie Farnworth, like those guys, when they do open up, they've got that long stride.
He's got them short legs going.
Bizzard's got that shorter, stockier build. But what that means is when he comes out of yardage, he's hard to handle.
Yeah, yeah.
And he again ran for well over 200 meters last night, and that's his strength is that yardage. How he gets those boys out of the Penrith Panthers out of the yardage sets. He sets that tone. But Brian To'o, congratulations. Hat-trick, 102 tries in total for the Penrith Panthers, and he is now the second all-time try scorer. But so there was 22-0. Penrith had all the momentum. But then there was a moment where Liam Martin, he gets sin-binned in the 37th minute for closing the space. Now, I don't think it was a professional foul. I don't think many did, but he still...
What do you mean by closing the space?
So, the Storm, they put in a grubber. They went to chase it, and he's kind of closed that hole where that Storm runner was going to chase him.
Through the ball.
And it was like an opportunity for him to chase and score a try. The guy was never going to score the try, but because he's gone and closed it, the ref thought it was a professional foul.
So in Union, they talk about that as like changing your lane. Is that how you guys interpret it too? So if you're not staying straight and you cross over to the running
lane?
It's very hard.
Yeah, it's very hard because Liam Martin's also attempting the tackle. So he's kicked it a little bit later. So he's closing the space to make the tackle. And then as he's kicked it, he's gone and sort of maneuvered and turned and at the same time closed that space even more. Refs thought, yep, 10 in the bin. Now in the 42nd minute, Lindsay Smith gets put in the bin for, like it was a continuous infringement. So they gave Manny 6 against Lindsay Smith, 10 in the bin. So at one stage for a few minutes there, the Storm were playing 11 Panthers players. Storm then come back in the second half. Jack Cogger also got 10 in the bin on the 60th minute. Look, the Storm did have also one in the bin on the early in the midway through the first half. But by that second half, the Panthers were just trying to hold on. Let's just get to the end of this game. We need to hold on. They didn't score a point. Storm ended up scoring 14 points, but Panthers still got enough done to win the game, 22 points to 14. Storm, so they can't make the eight now.
So
they can't
definitely
make the finals. This is the first time in 24 years that they don't play finals footy.
Outside of that salary cap breach, I think it was the only time where they still had a quality team. But I think outside of that, yeah, this is from a competition point of view where they needed to get in there. But man, Craig Bellamy, I wonder what he's thinking. He doesn't know this feeling. He doesn't know what that feels like.
I just think they've been hit with injuries. You know, Xavier Coates went down early. Eli Katoa.
Eli Katoa for me was the big one. That big missing piece.
Tui Kamikamitha with his heart condition as well at the start of this year. Just been very inconsistent to be able to hold, that strong team that they've always had, but also what it has done is gave young players opportunities.
Yeah,
I think a shining light for them this year. If you look back on the season, Suafar Longo has been a shining light for the Melbourne.
He's only going to get better as well.
Some of those highlights that he had, and he's only, again, like you said, he is only going to get better from the experience and from the amount of games he's had to play and learnt from adversity like this year. So the rest of our round 25 will be played this weekend. I'm looking forward to the Raiders versus the Broncos because, again, it's Josh Papali'i's last home game. They have named the stadium Papa's House for this round. So looking forward to that game. And I think Rabbitohs versus the Warriors on Saturday will also be a good game to watch. But remember, you can hear every NRL game live on ABC Radio Australia. Let's shift over to Rugby Union before we get to Kiana Takarangi for some more NRLW.
Malolele, everyone, ko kuingoa, ko ana awhailo tungahe, ko hao miho foa, ko waingaha fe ihe timpeni na tonga, pea oku mo whanongo mai ki he letio ni she furi.
Yeah, how good was that?
What'd she say?
At the end, she said, make sure you listen to Nisha Furi.
The whole thing.
She introduced herself, missed the middle bit, but the last bit of whanongo mai ni she furi was... Don't do the stone.
Fuck a pickle pickle. Do your studies, mate.
Stop being lazy. Okay. I shouldn't have taught you that word. But anyway, yeah, let's get over to Rugby Union. I think there's big news out of Rugby League and Rugby Union, actually, with the Sydney Roosters assistant coach, Michael Checker.
Yes.
Has now accepted the new role as head coach with the New South Wales Waratahs in Super Rugby. And he's actually heading back to the Waratahs. He had success with them back in 2014 when they won the title there. So this is huge.
Was that when the big Fijian Dangele
was
playing on the wing?
On the wing there. They had the Tafu Polotanea, they had Falau. Israel Folau, Wycliffe Balu, Peter Beetham.
Kirtley Bill.
They were stacked with stars. And it's a good sort of point you bring up around those top of names because when Czech first took over, he took over in 2013, and I guess the Waratahs were always known to have the big stars, but probably under-delivered.
Mm.
And when he came in 2013, they finished ninth, but that was the year where he put his fingerprints on that team and instilled like that attitude check, hard work, resilience, and making sure that they lived up to their potential. And that first game in 2014 when he took over for the second year, I was with the Western Force and we played them round one in Sydney. They pumped us 43 points to 21. Israel Folau scored 3 tries. But coming out of that game, you felt a shift within their attitude and their performance. Like, they were ruthless. And they ended up building through that whole season, won a classic game in Sydney where they beat actually Nemanja Nondolo Kurundrani's Crusaders side that had Richie McCaw, that had Dan Carter. Nems was on the wing and they won that game. And he's gone on to, you know, coach international sides with the Wallabies, Argentina. He did Argentina and Lebanon at the same time, rugby league. Like, that's unheard of. And he's been an assistant coach at the Roosters. And I think all of his experience is probably the right person for the job to be able to come back to the Waratahs and shake things up, because they need that there. And I just think that he will do wonders there. But I know, T, like, you know, someone that's been in rugby league now and been an assistant coach under Trent Robinson, who have you been a part of? What do you think he's probably learned from being an assistant coach there in an environment that gets everything right, you know, off field, on field, the right people, the right characters?
Yeah, I watched a clip that he must have done a podcast online, and Checker talked about his experience as an assistant coach.
Yep.
And I didn't, only talking to you offline earlier, I didn't realize that he hadn't been an assistant coach before.
Yeah, only been a head coach.
Only been a head coach. Obviously, before he was a head coach, he would have done some groundwork, but his experience, he spoke about his experience as an assistant coach, and, you know, even the things about putting the cones out, and he had to, or he'll have to go and get the cones after training. He forgot what that felt like, or he mentioned, he's like, oh, you know, I've never had to do that as a head coach. So now when he goes back to being a head coach at the Tars, he'll know what those assistant coaches will go through. And I think he understands that to be the best head coach, he would need really good assistant coaches, and he would need to build this team to be able to, then that filters down to the playing team.
Yep.
So I think, one, he would come out of that with gaining so much experience, but also at the Roosters. The Roosters hold such a high standard, and it doesn't matter who you are within those four walls.
Yep.
You know, it doesn't matter if you're the superstar and James Tedesco, Sam Walker, or you're the rookie, or you're even, you know, the person who looks after merchandise, or you're the accountant. You know, you still respect and treat each other with respect when you're within those four walls. And it's about building the human, building the person, and then the player will come, the best player will come from building those great characters and people.
Yeah, I reckon he definitely had those attributes, like, going into it, but probably still more geared towards, like, being ruthless and winning games and probably not really understanding the bigger picture. But as soon as you said that, man, I've never picked up the... He said that he's never picked up the cones or put the cones out.
Mm.
Like, those little simple moments to know that you're not bigger than the game, even if you are the head coach, like, you show humility. You go to the person doing the kit saying thank you for the efforts that you do, because when everyone plays their part, it actually makes the head coach's job really easy to be able to be the glue and bring everything together, because everyone's doing their job and you've empowered them to do their job.
One example I can share is earlier this week for a visit, and our content creator at the RLPA, it was her second day on the job. And I was like, oh, you know what? We spoke in the office. I go, I've got a visit at the Roosters soon. Would you like to join me and just sort of experience, you know, what we're presenting, but also, you know, what us player ops do when we go into clubs? And she's like, oh, yeah, sure. So you think, like, someone with not much rugby league background, no connection to the players, and just all of a sudden walking into the Roosters headquarters. But every single person that we walk past, players, staff included, every single person went and shook her hand. They didn't know who she was, but they just went, oh, hey, nice to meet you. So on and so on. And she would have walked out of that feeling going, man, what great people, what nice people.
Whatever thought she had about rugby league and rugby league players at that time, those moments would have changed their whole perception.
Yep.
And I think for someone like Cech to be able to go to the Waratahs, that's what needs to be brought back to that side.
Yep.
And he's a very good connector, and he was very good with the Pacific Island boys in those teams. Like, I've seen Israel Folau play his best footy under him. I've seen Tatafu Polota now, Wycliffe Balu.
Dangele.
Like, Dangele was known, like, as, you know, being lazy on the wing, like big, and had moments, highlight moments, but he was the most consistent player in that competition. And one of the best things about that competition was when Big Nems came up against Tangele, and Tangele got the battle.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was solid, man.
This is a kid that played New South Wales Cup for the majority of his rugby league career and couldn't crack.
Yeah.
And couldn't get into that NRL system, but then moved over to rugby union and then found a home there at the Tars, won a premiership, and then went overseas and then cashed in.
I think he's only just like retired now, like after so long. But I think, yeah, congrats to Cech. I think he's going to do amazing things there. We'll go to the Wallabies squad now. It's good to see Len Ikitau back in the squad because they're going over to Argentina for two tough games over there. And big Daniela Tupou as well has been granted permission from his top 14 side, Racing Metro, to go on that tour as well. So much needed beef that he will provide for the scrum. Will be much needed against Argentina. They are massive over there. And then the All Blacks, they'll be taking on South Africa in a huge test match. This will be the first test match at Ellis Park in Johannesburg. It's cool that we got a little bit of an inside, you know, talking with your cousin Lima. And I'm looking forward to, you know, playing this chat on Monday. So make sure we pre-recorded it. But on Monday, this will be a huge game, and we'll unpack that one over there. But I just think the build-up...
Let's get that preview a little bit more excited. So yeah, we've got Lima
Songa. Sorry, bro.
He is joining us from South Africa next Monday. We've managed to get him on a phone call, get him on a Zoom call. Was it yesterday?
Yesterday
we had a chat, and he got to share his experiences. But also, we...
He got me buzzing out of my skin because he's seen it from a different lens.
Yes, that's it.
Yeah, seen it from... Like, he made his All Blacks debut at this very stadium.
As a 10.
As a 10.
I think he might have been 23 years old.
Young, height of his game. Dan Carter's still the incumbent number 10. And they won that one. Like, it's a hostile place. But to hear him talk about being back in that environment at a, you know, as a content creator, as a media personality, like, oh, like, he had me. He had me captured every single word that he was talking about. It's going to be a huge test match. I can't wait to watch this one. I'm definitely getting up early for it because the build-up has been amazing, and it's going to be a tough test match. Honestly, when you think about Ardy Savia starting at 8, and we spoke about this with Lima, Ardy's been prepping his body to take on South Africa by tackling Lima.
I was gonna mention it when Lima spoke about it, but I was like, so Ardy, let's just save it for
Monday.
We'll
save it for Monday. We'll there's a little Monday hook and tease to make we'll sure you stay there for Monday. But we also had a little side bet because there's another game. The Black Ferns are taking on the Wallaroos on Saturday in Auckland, and he came up with this outrageous bet that I am definitely not taking on. But let's have a listen to what he wants me to do if the Black Ferns win.
Sammy said if the Black Ferns win, he's going to shave his head. So
that is definitely not happening, brother.
Yeah, no chance, Lima. No chance. He's a Scucks fellow. So you both are Scucks. So good-looking roosters. If I shave my head, man, I may as well just, wear a paper bag over my head for the rest until it grows back. But anyway, that wraps us up for Rugby Union until we get over to Nemani Nondolo Kundrani.
Hi, my name is Sitaleki Timani, and you're listening to Nijan Footy.
You're listening to Nijan Footy with Tinirau Aruna and Sammy Wykes, and usually we have Sala Tongatuki joining us every Friday to talk all things NRLW, but she is currently doing her captain's run with the West Tigers, NRLW. Who are they playing this weekend, Sammy?
I actually don't know because usually she brings in that that information, and because she won last week, I was banking on her being here, and... Yeah, didn't look that far down the run sheet. Sorry, Brass. Who are they playing?
But...
Or someone's going to tell us.
Someone will tell us very shortly, because replacing Sala Tongatuki today is our good friend Kiana Takarangi from the Parramatta Eels. Kiana, do you know who West Tigers are playing this weekend?
Boys, they've got the Knights. Come on.
Oh, yes. There you go. That's why you are here.
Oh, Key.
Well, welcome. Welcome to Nijin Footy. Again, Kiana, you are the perfect 14th man on the bench with the impact.
Twice this week she's done this. She filled in for Tiana on that Pacific Sports Show.
Yeah, I heard you've done great too.
Great job. There was only one moment where I had to look at her. She looked at me. I was like, you're up, cuz. I've got nothing. that little pause that she's turned, took it on, asked a great question. I was like, thanks, Key, because I had nothing. I forgot what I was supposed to ask. But yeah, you did an amazing job there for us. Appreciate you, Key.
Thanks, boys.
How's life going for yourself at the Parramatta Eels camp, Kiana?
Yeah, it's been good. I am very surprised that the competition's already almost finished. You know, we've only got four more rounds of the NRLW and we'll be done for us at Para anyway. Unfortunately, we won't make finals. But, yeah, it's been a bit of an up and down season for us at Para. It's just crazy how quick it's gone, though.
Up and down? It's probably just one up last weekend with the first win. The rest has been all down.
You two are horrible to me, sir. Sam always picks on me for being
No, I don't. I just say you're wise.
Coming hard.
We will park that one, but in regard, you did mention that the competition is coming to its end in a few weeks' time. But now we've seen the separation from the top teams and the bottom teams. What have your thoughts been on the competition so far in the NRLW?
Yeah, I think there's been some really good football played. As you said, I think there's a clear difference between those better teams and those who aren't doing so well. But I've liked, obviously, Broncos and Roosters, they've been the top teams throughout the whole competition. But I like that there's a couple Smokies in there. Like, I like that Titans have done so well. And then Sullers, Tigers as well, they've been unreal. And they're sitting at fourth, which is huge for them considering the year that they had last year. So I think it's exciting. Good to see a couple of different teams in the mix there in the top four.
Yeah.
Okay, you mentioned that those teams in the top four, and there is a bit of a probably difference there. Do you feel like, is it just a talent gap and a depth gap, or is there more to it? Like, do clubs need to still invest heavily in and around their program? Because it seems like the Roosters and the Broncos have done a very good job at doing that. But yeah, what's your thoughts around that?
Yeah, for sure. You look at the squads, especially with the Roosters, you know, they're stacked from 1 to 18. You know, even their, you know, reserves are great quality players. So I don't know what it is, what they're doing at the Roosters. I know there's been questions about it for the men as well. They might just have a little bit more money than other clubs. I'm not sure what it is. But, you know, there's teams like the Broncos who probably don't have as strong squads that are, you know, across the board, but they've got an unreal spine and all of their spine players are, you know, international representatives. So, it is tough. There is a lot of teams bringing through a lot of new girls as well. I know that for Para, we've got a lot of new young faces who are in the team. I know Bulldogs are another team with a lot of young ones coming up. So, yeah, I think a couple of – maybe the competition in a few more years might level out a bit more as the young ones – get more experience, but you know, you look at the Roosters, they're very experienced. There's not that many young girls within that squad.
Yeah, it's one thing to notice that the women's NRLW competition is very early compared to the NRL. So the quality of players, and as we expand and get more teams into the NRLW competition, it filters out the quality across all teams. So now clubs are now investing in their pathway system with the juniors of the girls and the female athletes coming through. And hopefully in a few years' time, like Kiana said, we will see that quality expand to more teams.
There's definitely more coming through. I reckon in my nephew's under-11 side, the four best players on their team, the girls.
Yeah, and that's because the girls now, the NRLW players, are inspiring these young girls to play rugby league. And yeah, they play such a quality brand of footy where it's attractive and the girls are keen to get involved in the sport. So, yeah, the future's bright for NRLW. But this weekend, it is
Round 8.
Round 8. What game are you looking forward to watching this weekend?
I think the Broncos versus the Titans.
Yes.
Which is going to be a good matchup. They're both, you know, they're second and third at the moment on the ladder. But yeah, I think there's a lot of potential for the Titans to go well. They've been playing some really good footy and it's going to be a good challenge. They're playing at home up in the Goldies, so a little bit of an advantage maybe for them. But Yeah, really looking forward to seeing how that game goes.
Who wins this one?
I'm going to say the Broncos, but I think it'll be close.
I'll say Titans.
You're going to go Titans?
I just think they're very athletic, and this could be one of their big challenges. And whenever teams are going well, they always put that marker down on teams like Broncos or the Roosters, and they're like, okay, they prepare.
They're the real deal, okay. If they're the real deal, they'll get it done.
They'll get it done, yep. Yeah, okay. The two most exciting players to watch so far this season?
I'm going to say Tamika Upton from the Brisbane Broncos. I have always rated her very highly. I got to play alongside her at the Knights a few years back, and I was just super impressed by her preparation, by the way that she plays and how she can just create something out of nothing. So she'd be my first. And then my second one, I had a little think about it. I reckon I'm going to throw a bit of a smoke in here. She is a up-and-coming player, and she's been playing in my New South Wales Premiership team at the Parramatta Eels, and her name's Freedom Crichton-Ropati. So she's an absolute freak. She scored, I think it might be like 11 or 12 tries in 8 games. I'll have to double check that, but she's a freak and I love playing beside her, and I reckon she should be in the NRLW for sure. So one to watch.
What's her nationality?
She is someone.
Is she related to Stephen Crichton?
Critter. Yes. I don't know how exactly, but there is some sort of related there.
Yeah, I think there might have been some posts I remember seeing on the family Instagram, but I know I said I'd park and come back to it. The Eels, down, but had their first victory on the weekend.
Up and down year.
How's the week been? The shift, like we always say, winning solves everything. Now, I could only imagine the energy being a bit more positive in camp this weekend at the Eels. How's it been?
Definitely. Yeah, it was a somber start to the season. The first 6 weeks were pretty rough, but definitely higher vibes this week in training. I think the girls always, like, it's always been there. We haven't been playing to our potential, that's for sure, but it was just really good to see a bit of a shift in energy and girls being a bit more upbeat, a bit more positive at training, and everyone's trained really well going into this week's game against the Sharks. So hopefully we can cause a bit of an upset against Tiana's Sharkies girls on Sunday.
Ooh, that might be my smoky for this week. Might be my smoky. But I did notice on socials, everyone's a bit more upbeat. Tongan Language Week. Martha Matele. She looks like an absolute blast to be with in an environment where sometimes it is a bit somber when you're losing, but when you have characters like her, it makes it all worth it, and the doom and gloom sort of goes. What's it like actually being in an environment with Martha?
Martha is such a good character. She has the loudest laugh ever. Like, you can literally hear her.
I heard it on socials.
Yeah.
When she did the Tongan Language Week stuff. Oh, man, yeah, crack up.
She's a crack up, but she's such good vibe. She's such good energy, and she's such a great talent. You know, she's super impressive on the field as well, and she's just someone that you want to play beside. You don't want to be playing against her because she's a freak and she runs so hard, and you just, whenever you do a pose session, you're hoping she doesn't come anywhere near you, or you hope that she's on your side. She's a good girl.
Hey, we appreciate you jumping on and covering today, and all the best for this weekend, and we will see you shortly on Nijan Footy.
Thanks, boys. Always good to chat with you both.
Hello, my name is Tony Pulitua, and you're listening to Nijan Footy.
The Rugby Union Preview.
Interception by Big Nemani.
With Nemani Kurindrani.
Yes, it's time to shift back to Rugby Union, and we have our former Flying Fijian friend Nemani Nondola Kurindrani nice and early on time, which is, what's that, 5 minutes? 5 minutes early there, Nems. Perfect. You're with us. I appreciate you, brother. How you been?
Oh, boys, you know what? It lights up my week, my day, to end the Friday, knowing that I get to see your beautiful face. You know, I know the cussing and all the backstabbing that I get from, but you know what? I just see you guys. You know what? You made my day, boys. I'm happy. Like, I'm on a buzz, man. Like, it's just awesome. What a day.
I can tell. There's something about you. There's a lot more charisma about you, but, man.
Holiday coming up, I reckon.
There has to be a free trip
there's
somewhere.
There's got to be a holiday coming up.
There is, isn't there? I was going to save it to the end, but you've got a free trip coming up.
Yeah, well, boys, the way you guys put it, I'm still going to work. But, guys, you've let it out. I'm off to Tonga next week. the wonderful Kingdom of Tonga. Looking forward to it. I haven't been there in 17 years. Last time I went, I played. The last time I went there, fun fact, not that anyone's keeping tabs on it, I played in the Kings. I played in the King's President 15 against the Tongan 15 before his coronation. So there's a bit of history as part
there
of.
There is. Hang on. Did they stuff up your hotel booking for the team? You guys actually, when you landed, you didn't have a hotel?
That's the one.
And is then, that the one?
Yeah. So we got in midnight from Sydney. These guys, like, yeah, George Smith, Tyrone Smith, and then one side, like, you know, we had. I was travelling with Mark Gerrard, like, mate, the big dogs.
The goats, yep.
The goats of Tongans and Tongans rugby and rugby in general. Anyway, we got in and Gerardo's with me. I'm with Mark Gerrard and he's like, bruh, have you been here before? And I was like, yeah. And obviously Gerardo's lived there, right?
Yep.
He's like, don't worry, bruh, we're all sorted, man. They're going to look after us. We get to the hotel. A, they forgot that we were coming in, and B, no rooms. So I ended up bunking with the captain of the Tongan 15, president like the Tongan 15, XV, Nili Latu. And I was like, oh, Jesus, this is the captain of Tonga. Anyway, so we all bunked down. So Lasi Mafu was on that trip. Get this. So we're all in the team room, all the kids one side, all the kids the other side. You know, go help yourself. You go take your stuff. By the end of the tour, because I had a few of the Tongan locals playing, all that kit was gone. All theirs was gone too. So.
Oh, Nems, you never disappoint with some of your yarns. Look, have fun in the beautiful Kingdom of Tonga. Shout out to our good friends at Friends Cafe as well. Get a good coffee from there. But I've got no doubt you'll be enjoying it. And you're doing a bit of coaching, aren't you? A bit of development and coaching and skills.
Bit of community rugby. Going to go back there and we'll go there and help out some of the schools and it's through a company over there. And, yeah, just get out there for a few days. I've just seen my timetable. That's my itinerary. And I'm telling you what, I don't get any time. It's village after village. But you know what? Doing God's work, boys. That's why I'm here.
Love it.
How good, bro. We'll check in with you again next week in Tonga and just see how you go getting through customs with all the fish that you'll take back from Tonga. But let's shift over now to what we actually should be talking about. It's a bit of rugby.
Yeah.
The Drua, new signing, big signing there. I don't know too much about Noke, but who is he, what position, and what's he going to bring to the Drua?
Yeah, so I'm so glad I've got this platform to talk about this sort of stuff, boys. Anyway, so Inoke, great signing for us. You know, he's been a great servant of Skipper Cup, which is our local competition here. Tight head prop, you know, he's decent. He's done his time here. He went and played some rugby in Canberra for Wests and just absolutely carved up there. And, you know, it was a no-brainer. We wanted to bring him across. And obviously, we probably lack a little bit there in that department. So to bring someone like him, and also compliment the fact that he's come through the local pathways, has been great. So I mean, he's got some great feedback from the public since he's signing. And again, you know, there's not only him, but Leone Nakarawa, who we've brought back from the UK, from France. So yeah, mate, Inoki is going to do some wonders for us. And yeah, just to see him, he actually came in yesterday and couldn't get him out of the gym. He just wanted to work out. And but mate, it's exciting stuff. Some of these signings that we've got, and, you know, again, there's a method to the madness and everything in it. So we're just looking forward to working with him come preseason.
How is the squad shaping up for 2027 so far?
Yeah, so you know, like. Here we're doing things a little bit different. Obviously, we signed some. I don't know if you know, but we signed a lock in Leone Nakarawa. He's 38. Comes with immense experience and what a lot of time on the saddle. There, he's played in two World Cups. He's a legend. Here in Fiji, and you know, I think around him, getting him to come after we've lost Nasila Sila over to Japan. We've lost some key players in that position. But the best thing about him coming over here and spending a year with us, as you know, Fijians can play till they're 45, right? So you're going to get some minutes out of him. Do we expect him to play every game? Look, I don't think so. But it's that experience and that mentorship that he's going to bring to our development and our next, the guys underneath, right? Because with our development squad shaping up, we've got a bit more players in there. We've got a few young locks in there that could really, really help that could really do with his experience and knowledge. So, you know, yes, we've got him playing, but also it's that stuff off the field that what he's going to bring is going to be immense for our club. And, yeah, mate, we're excited. I played with him for many years in the Fiji team, and to see that he's still got it, mate, he's still got a few more years in him, which is good.
It seems like that's the route the Drua are taking for next year, getting some experienced leaders, good men coming into the squad to be able to help shape some of the young ones coming through, you know, like Ben Volovolo. So I'm looking forward to seeing the impact that those older players have on the younger ones, but also, you know, reconnecting, living back in Fiji, you know, for some of those players would have been a long time since being back there. So, yeah, looking forward to hearing more stories from those guys. We'll shift over now to last week. I feel like I know why you were late last week. Were you doing the jersey presentation for the South African women's team? Is that the reason why you were late last week?
Yes, actually, it was right. You're right. And yes.
Just a little heads up, a little bit of content.
Yeah,
I know. Audio. We could have worked together on this, but
just as about to say it, T kicked us off. So, maybe it's our back staff that we're probably, maybe we're not the problem guys. But anyway, that's in the past. That was last week.
How was that experience, bro? Obviously, they're playing against Fiji. You know, obviously, you're Fijian through and through. But it's always a special occasion when you get asked to present jerseys, especially a test jersey to a team.
Yeah, like Samuel, I'm telling you now, man, it was something I'll never forget. I've never been asked to do something like that jersey presentation, but to do it, at that international level. But when I got the phone call, I literally spoke to to the coach, and I said, mate, are you sure about this? Because and he was just like, mate, we're keen. We want you to hear and speak. And anyway, I got in there, man, and you know what? Like, it was just, it was a crazy feeling, man, speaking to him, but talking to a team, knowing that I used to sit in that seat, it was an awesome feeling, man. And yeah, they went on to win it, and it was good.
Hey, before we let you go, we had Lima Sopoanga join us from South Africa earlier this week, and we'll air his chat on our show on Monday, Nijan Footy. But what we spoke about was how he feels now when he's transitioned out of the game from playing to now being a presenter and a content creator. When you speak then and you see yourself in those positions having to do a speech in front of current players, but then also the space that you're working in now, going to Tonga doing community work and your attachment with Fiji and Drua. How does that make you feel, looking back as a player, once a player, and now seeing yourself now? Did you ever think that you would be where you are today when you were playing?
No, mate, no way. I saw myself retiring in Australia and just doing something or whatever there in Brisbane, but it's funny, so I know we laugh about it, how I've got my hats and all this and I'm doing other jobs and stuff. One of the reasons why I do that is because I never want to use rugby as a way of making money, of like relying on a job. Does that make sense? Because the passion I have, what gets me up each day is like you said, just being able to help the next generation and mentor the next guys. And I never want it to be about, I don't want to, is it going to support my family and whatnot? And I know we joke about it that I've got my hats in many places and I've got many jobs, but I literally, that's one of the reasons why I do it, because then I don't want to rely on that. And
you don't want it to be transactional when you're doing that.
Yeah. That's trying to explain it. Yeah, like that way. So, and you just get up, man, and like I said, we just signed, two high school kids, and you bring their families in, man, and you sign and they're just like, when you see their grandmother crying and their mum crying and, and you're just like, man, this is why we do what we do. And then, so this one kid here just signed, he's still in high school. He's in the gym every day, and his mum was just like, thank you so much. And now I get the opportunity to go to Tonga and do that. Like, I wasn't expecting that, but like, even that, to do community rugby there. I wouldn't have never expected, A, that I'd be living in Fiji. It's funny you say this, I always have this chat with everyone that would talk about what got you, and I always bring up Sammy when we had our conversations on the commentary and we're flying back and forth. We'd always, chew the fat, and it was like, man, what do you reckon? Should I move here? And we talk about it, and I tell people, like, And I think I'm probably go deeper here that, like, if I probably didn't have that conversation with Samuel, I probably wouldn't have been here. So it's funny how things open up, and, man, you know, that's why I'm always late to things, guys, because I'm doing God's work, you know. Amen. You know?
Amen. And, he is, man. And, like, this guy's a mover and shaker, man, honestly, because I just saw a post here. He helped Will Genya transition and get a job over in PNG. So, like, the guy's just, he's a master. But we do joke a lot, Nems.
Yeah. No,
but
yeah,
on
exactly
a serious
right.
note, like, it's a lot of fun, isn't it, when you do stuff from the heart like that?
Wow, thanks, man. And just one more thing, boys. Tia, I'll probably have to have a word to Tia. I wasn't told that Lim, is you guys looking to replace me or something? Or what's going on?
It's secure.
You've got nothing to worry about, mate. It was just a guest. It was a guest on our show.
It's T's cousin.
Okay.
And
well, you just say that because I'm just sweating a little bit now.
That's the best. Nah,
you ain't going nowhere, brother.
Nah, we got you locked in every
Monday.
I'll
take that with tea after this. Though.
Yeah, no worries. But Nems, honestly, you light up my day. You light up our day. Audience loves you. And as I said, we do joke around a lot, but, man, it's always a pleasure that we get to hear from you and just have a laugh, man. Honestly, I can't wait to do it again next week. Much love and all the best in Tonga.
Smoke. You better lock it up. You better lock it up. No, you lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up. Smoke.
Lock and smoke, Sammy. Our tipping competition to round up Nesian Footy Fridays. And if you've just joined us, you're listening with Tinirau Aruna and Sammy Wykes, where we have our competition. Now, we pick two teams from both codes. One is the favourite, one is the least favourite. And then we keep a score. The winner at the end of the year will receive a feed from the loser. And I'm winning 26 points to 22. Last week, Sammy, you got one from two, and I got one on my smoke.
Yeah, I think I got the Knights for my lock. Yeah, yep. Smokey was a tough one for me. The Dragons, NRLW, they just had no chance against
the Titans. And then I had Sharks locked in against the Raiders. Until Braden Trindle went down, we were good. And then we end up losing to the Raiders. But my Smokey.
What a Smokey, though. That was a great Smokey.
The Tigers over the Warriors. That was in NRLW.
Well played.
So I'll take that one. Now, okay. Who have you got locked in for this?
I can tell you right now, I'm not locking in the Wallaroos when it comes to.
Oh, so genuinely, when you said. When he said, cut your hair, Lima said to shave your head, you knew that they were going to lose.
Oh, man, it's going to be a tough ask. Like, the Wallaroos have never beaten the Black Ferns. Never, ever. It's always going to be a tough one. The quality of those Black Ferns players, it's not that they won't compete and try hard. It's just going to be very hard to beat. So I can't lock in that one. But I will lock in. I'm going to lock in. Can I lock in the Raiders for Big Papa? Is that okay if I lock that one in as my?
Yeah, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, okay.
Just
in case if you wanted to choose that one or not, but I think for Big Papa, if they don't get the job done for him, I'm not here. But I'm going to lock in that one, the Raiders.
All right, I'll go with my lock in. My lock in will be the Roosters over the Tigers, NRL.
Yeah, I mean, that's a safe bet, that one. A safe lock in, that one. Sorry, safe lock.
Sorry to my Tigers boys. Sorry, listening. Boys.
The wheels have fallen off.
All right, who's your Smokey?
I want to go the Parramatta Eels, NRLW, to get over the Sharkies. That's my Smokey.
Eels to get over the Sharks? Sharks aren't even good, man.
But they've got, well, on paper.
On paper, they still.
So you're not going to give me that one?
I just think Sharks aren't that great. Anyway. Sorry, Tiana, for listening. I don't think Sharks are that strong that Eels are a Smokey.
Oh, really? That's okay, so you're not going to give me that one?
I'll give you it. You can take Eels. Okay. You Eels over let me, Sharks.
Yep.
Well, I will go NRLW team then, and we will go. Who's a Smokey here? Ooh, the Smokey is. I'm not going to go Warriors over the Roosters. You know what? Let me go. I'll back the Tigers over the Knights again. Let me go Tigers over the Knights.
Done and dusted.
West Tigers. I know I'm going double.
But they're
I'm
top four. How are they Smokies now? They can't be right. But you know what? I'm just going to give it anyway because we need to get out of the studio. We need to wrap it up.
Yep.
But T, take us away.
take us away. Where are we taking you?
To the weekend, mate. That's our time up for Nesian Footy Fridays. We'll catch you again on Monday, but make sure you subscribe to our podcast wherever you find them, or just search on the ABC Pacific website.
Yep. Don't forget to join us on Monday to hear a great interview with Lima Sopuanga. This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.